I want to speak to you this morning on how to avoid being bewitched. How to avoid being bewitched. Have you been bewitched? Are we in danger of being bewitched? And we'll look at that this morning. Before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, our faith and our trust is in you this morning. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you that we can come and we can worship you. Thank you that you care about us. We thank you that you love us even when we are not lovable. Father, we pray that you'd speak to us this morning, that you'd help us to get something from your word. I pray that you'd minister to hearts this morning. You'd speak to them and, Lord, tell them what you want them to know from the word this morning. You know each and every heart. You know all the situations that are going on. I pray that, Father, you would help us to have open ears and open eyes to your word, Father. Give us the understanding that we need from your word. Holy Spirit of God, illuminate us and help us to understand. Well, thank you for it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Read the first five verses. Paul says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? We've been looking at Galatians off and on for the last two or three months, and the theme of the book of Galatians is that salvation is only by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, and that you cannot add anything to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul is writing this letter to the churches at Galatia, the believers there, because there have been false teachers that have came into their congregations and have tried to add something to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're telling the people there, the believers, that you must become a Jew in order to be saved. You can't just believe on Jesus Christ. You have to do something else. So for the first couple of chapters there's a narrative about the background of Paul. They've been attacking Paul. They've been attacking his character. They've been attacking his apostleship. And Paul is hitting back, and he's hitting back hard, first couple of chapters. And as we enter into chapter number 3, Paul is going to start making an argument about why salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and is in nothing else. And he's going to stay on that same theme for about two or three chapters. And so as we enter into Galatians chapter number 3, we're going to be hitting a lot of doctrine. It's not going to be a narrative or any kind of background or anything like that. But he speaks to the Galatians and he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? He said some teachers have came in, some preachers, speakers, religious leaders, they have come in and they have bewitched you. We're going to say a little bit more about being bewitched here in just a few moments, but someone had really tricked them into leaving the faith that they believed in order to be saved. And it got them to believing something else that was untrue. Some of you younger folks may not remember this, but back in the early 60s through the early 70s, there was a little sitcom that came on, and I don't know if it was daytime television or not, but it came on, it was called Bewitched. And it was about a witch who married a normal man And she had vowed that she would not use her supernatural powers, her witch powers, in order to do anything in their marriage. And she was supposed to be about 100 years old. But she couldn't help it. She got into her marriage and she got into situations and she had to use her witch powers. And she'd wiggle her nose and they'd make that funny music, you know, that they made. Most of you have probably seen it, but she'd use her powers in order to work in situations in the marriage or in the situations of her life. And she would get people to do really oddball things. Get them to really do some weird things. Sometimes they'd turn into cats or dogs, or they'd bark like a dog, or they'd do something like that because she had supernatural powers over different people. And you look at that and you think, man, these people are really acting weird. She's really got some sway over these people because of what she's doing. And that's why the name of the movie was, or the show was called Bewitched. Because she could get people to do things that they wouldn't normally do. That things that were abnormal in life. People usually don't bark like a dog or grow hair or whiskers or ears like a cat. That's just abnormal. So what Paul is saying here to the believers at Galatia, he's saying, you're doing some really weird stuff here. I mean, you believed in the gospel, you received the Spirit by believing the gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, and now you've left that. He says, you're doing some foolish things. He's not attacking their intelligence or telling them that they're, you know, how can you do this? You know, only an absurd individual would do this, or some kind of weirdo would do this. No, he's saying, boy, why? What are you doing? You've left it. It's foolish for you not to obey the gospel. It's foolish for you not to obey God. Why are you doing this? The definition of bewitched or to bewitch someone means to malign or fascinate by false representation. And that's what these teachers were doing. They were misrepresenting Paul. They were misrepresenting God. They were misrepresenting the Scriptures, and they were getting the Galatian believers to go away from Jesus Christ as the only means of salvation. Now, I'm sure that they probably said, well, you can believe in Jesus Christ, but you also have to do something else. They were adding something to it. We read in the first chapter of Galatians that it's a perverted gospel that they're teaching there. It's not the genuine thing. Something that's false. And so they had turned them into something else. Well, these believers in Galatia, they had liberty at one time. But since they had started believing this other lie, they had lost their liberty. Now they're in bondage. They once had, or they still had it, they had the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, an alien righteousness that they didn't earn. They got it from Jesus Christ. But now they're depending on something that they're doing. Hey, we have to do A, B, C, and D in order to be saved. So they have lost, or they're not trusting in that righteousness that comes only from Jesus Christ. They had the security of salvation because Jesus Christ had done everything for them. But now they had uncertainty. They had turned into something else. It was unnatural. These teachers had held sway over them. They had held influence over them. Me and my wife were speaking about this last night, and we had recently watched a documentary about David Koresh. Everyone remember David Koresh back in the early 90s. He had built himself a compound out in Waco, Texas, and it was called the Branch Davidian. That was the name of his religion or whatever. And he had really brainwashed a bunch of people into thinking and believing some really weird stuff. He told them the end of the world's coming, the government's going to get us, get your guns, get armed, get all this stuff because they're coming, they're going to get us. Well, they came all right. They came because he was breaking the law. He was practicing polygamy out there. He had convinced all of the men in the compound to give him their wives, and he was fathering children through all of those women. Can you believe that? People actually believe that kind of stuff? And they were doing it. And the government came, surrounded the building, and said, hey, come out, we want this to be done right. Come out of the building. They'd surround the building. He wasn't giving up. He says, I'm staying in here, and so are my followers. And the followers followed him, and they followed him all the way to death. They stayed inside of a burning building and burned alive with children inside of the building. They had been bewitched. He had deceived them into believing something that was false. Same way here with these believers in Galatia. Well, they had the gospel, they had the word of God, they had Paul there, a divine appointment from God's apostle, and they had rejected him. And Paul says, "And who has bewitched you? Why are you acting the way that you're acting?" Today, you and I, we can be bewitched. I'd be a fool if I was to stand up here and say, "Oh, no problem here. We got it. We as Christians, we are not going to be bewitched. I mean, we can withstand it. Just go on your merry way. Don't even think about it. No problem." I'd be lying to you. We all can be bewitched, and especially in the United States of America and the mentality and the spirit of the age in the United States. The Bible says that man is fallen, that man is sinful, and that he has a heart that is rotten to the core.
Yeah, that's right.
But if you live in the United States, you don't get that kind of message from the media. You don't get that kind of message from social media and every internet guru, and a lot of most preachers out there are not going to tell you those kinds of things. What they're going to tell you is, well, you have some good within you, and you just follow that goodness, and you follow your heart, and you can save yourself. Basically, that's what you're going to get in most churches, self-help. You don't need Jesus Christ. You can do it yourself. They're not going to point you to Jesus Christ or to God. They're going to point you to yourself. It's humanism, is what it is. That's the spirit of the age. Hey, follow your heart. Do whatever your heart wants you to do, and you'll be okay. You can become bewitched. You can give in to that spirit. You can go a few days, few weeks, few months, few years, listen to all of that, and you get down a few years later and man, I am believing something that I never thought that I would believe. I'm doing things that I never thought that I would do because you have become bewitched. How are you and I going to avoid being bewitched in a day and age where the spirit and influence of things is so strong in our age? It's easy to do. Guarantee. You have to fight against that. You must go to a good Bible-believing church and get some good preaching from the Word of God to fight against those kinds of attitudes that you could adopt. There's three actions that we can avoid to becoming bewitched. Number one, we must believe the evidence. We must believe the evidence. Number two, we must hear the Word of God. And number three, we must continue in the Spirit. Number one, we must believe the evidence. Did you know that Christianity is not a religion or a faith that is without evidence? We're not believing in the tooth fairy. We're not believing in unicorns and Santa Claus and all of that. No, there is hard evidence for our faith.
Amen.
Paul the Apostle wrote in verse number 1, he says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you." He says, you have some evidence. Why are you becoming bewitched? There's no reason for that. He says again in verse number 5, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you." There was miracles that were being performed by someone there in their congregations among the people. And he says, you can avoid being bewitched by believing the evidence. I picked out three evidences that the Galatians must believe. Number one was the preaching of the crucified Christ. He says, Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you. Now, they weren't there on the hill of Golgotha. They did not see the hands and the feet pierced of Jesus Christ. They were not there, but they had heard the preaching of the Word of God. They had heard the good news of the gospel, and that ought to be good enough. It's true. There were eyewitnesses of people who had seen Jesus Christ crucified. Paul the Apostle went to people and he preached to them. He says, "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified."
Amen.
He didn't go and give them plausible arguments. He gave them the gospel. I'm not against plausible arguments, but the gospel is the means of conversion for people. The gospel and the crucified Christ is enough. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, he says, but we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews. It's a stumbling block. Most people think you're foolish if you believe the gospel. What? You're believing in a crucified Savior, a rabbi that was crucified 2,000 years ago? I should have said this at the beginning, but did you know that the default setting for people is to earn their own salvation? That's what we want to do, and that's what makes sense to us, and that's what's logical to us. There's something that I have to do. And you get a supernatural revelation like this, that Jesus Christ is the one that was crucified. Most people are going to scoff at you. And Paul the Apostle said, it's a stumbling block to the Jews. They're not going to believe that. And it's foolishness to the Greeks. They don't believe things like that. But he goes on to say, but to those who are called, Christ crucified is both the power of God and the wisdom of God. Amen. Those who are called, Jesus Christ is enough evidence. We need nothing else. And Paul is talking to the Galatian believers. He says, hey, Christ crucified is enough. You don't need any extra stuff. You don't have to become a Jew. You don't have to go through the rite of circumcision. You don't need to do any of those things. Christ crucified is enough. Believe the evidence. There were miracles that were worked among them. Paul is saying, hey, look, miracles have been worked among you. Is that not enough to show that Paul the Apostle is genuine and the gospel that you believe is evidence enough to believe? Not only that, they had the Holy Spirit. He said, he that ministers to you the Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. You have an internal witness on the inside of you. Believe the evidence. Why do you believe? Why do you do the things that you do? That's a supernatural thing that God has given you. People don't work up the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. That's good enough. You and I must believe the evidence if we are not going to be bewitched. What do you mean, Brother Fox? What I mean is there's plenty of evidence for the Christian faith. Believe it. Amen. There's plenty of evidence for the resurrection. We are not believing in a fairy tale. Jesus Christ actually rose from the dead. The tomb is actually empty. Peter actually went to the tomb. He looked inside of the tomb and he was not there. Not at all. People actually saw Jesus Christ walking around after he rose from the dead. They talked to him, they walked with him, they spoke to him, they had conversations with him, they ate with him, they saw him. Amen. That's enough for me. I don't know if it's enough for you, but it's enough for me. Yeah. Believe the evidence. It's not a superstitious religion that we're believing. There's not something that's, we can't put our finger on it. It's not something like that. There's plenty of evidence for a crucified Christ. Even secular writers will verify this very thing. Yes, Jesus Christ is a historical figure and he was crucified. Plenty of evidence for the crucified Christ. There's plenty of evidence inside of ourselves, which is the most important thing that you and I ought to point to. We have the evidence of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What kind of nutcases are all of you for believing the gospel? Only a fool in the world's eyes would believe that. They look at you and think you're crazy because you believe the gospel. Because you're not working for your salvation. Because you're not depending on something that you're doing. Do you realize that and recognize that? That's one of the most important things that you and I can point to, is that we have the Holy Spirit indwelling on the inside of us. There's something on the inside of you that points you to the holy words of Scripture and you believe it. I get worried about some people who are skeptical of the Scriptures and they call themselves Christians. But the Holy Spirit will point you to the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit will point you to Jesus Christ. They will, he will not point you to plausible arguments or something else, some kind of pop psychology. He doesn't point you to that. The Holy Spirit points you to the Scriptures. So we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. That is the most important evidence that we have. The most important evidence that we have is not archaeological. The most important evidence that we have is not historical. Those things are important, but the most important thing is that you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. That's miraculous. John says in 1 John chapter number 4, he says, "Hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus is Christ has and has come in the flesh, every spirit that confesses that is of God." That's how we know. That's one of the reasons that we know that we are Christians and that someone has been born again is because they would confess something like that. And they would stick to it. Yes, Jesus Christ is God. Yes, He came down from heaven. Yes, He died for my sins.
Amen.
Yes, I believe that with all of my heart.
Amen.
That's one of the reasons why we know. Those who would deny this truth are not of God. If we are going to avoid being bewitched, we must believe the evidence. We must not only believe the evidence in our heart, but we must continue in His Word. That's number two. If we're going to avoid being bewitched, we must continue in His Word. We cannot lay the Bible aside and put it on our shelf and not read it and not study it and not pay attention to it. We must continue in His Word. He says in verse number two, he says, "This only what I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" He said, how did you get saved? How did you get the Spirit? By the hearing of faith. By the Word of God that you heard. If you and I are going to continue and not be bewitched, we must continue to hear the Word of God preached on a regular basis. By the way, if you continue to read this chapter, Paul, again, is going to give them scriptural illustrations from the Word of God that proves that salvation is by faith through grace, or grace through faith plus nothing. He gives them more Bible. He gives them more Scripture. He doesn't give them psychology. He doesn't tell them that they're a good person on the inside and you can do it alone if you just keep on keeping on. He doesn't tell them that. He says, hey, here's some more words from the Word of God. That will help you. If you and I are going to go through this life and not be bewitched, we must continue in the Word of God. I read a story about a young preacher who was ministering in a college town. And it's not this town. I know we're a college town, but it's not this town. He was a young preacher. He was nervous. As he had a bunch of intellectuals within his congregation, they were all going to college, and there's nothing wrong with going to college. I'm not saying that, but he had math teachers and history teachers and geology teachers and all this. And he was talking to his dad, and he said, "Dad, Father, I don't know what to do. I'm nervous about making outlines for my sermons." He said, "If I make an outline and I put in there something about geology, well, the geology professor's there in the pew, and he's gonna catch me, and I'm not real good on geology. Well, if I put something in there about English and I try to use an English illustration, well, the English teacher's there. He's going to see something. I'd put something else in there about some other subject. Well, they're gonna jump all over me." He was nervous. You know what his father said? His father said, "Well, you know what you can do? Preach the gospel, my son. They probably don't know nothing about that. Amen. Preach the gospel.
Amen.
Preach the gospel." Do you know that's a true statement?
Yes, sir.
Go out and knock on doors for a while. Ask them about salvation. The gospel is the power of God and salvation. Do you know that? Are you saved? Yes. Can I ask you, what do you believe the gospel is? 9 times out of 10, they're not going to know what the gospel is. But you have to believe it in order to be saved. Yes, I know, I understand that. How about you here this evening or this morning? Someone asks you, what is the gospel? Could you tell them what the gospel is? Would you know what the gospel is? Go to churches all across this land and talk to people. I'm not putting anybody down. But we need to hear more of the Word of God. We need to hear the gospel preached. We need to know about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to hear the Word of God more, not less.
Amen.
We need to hear more of the Word of God. The surefire way to be deceived and be bewitched is to lay your Bible aside and not read it and not study it, and to adopt some worldly philosophy that's out there. We need to hear the gospel preached. We need the gospel and the Word of God more and more.
Amen.
It might seem elementary to you, but hey, I'm stuck on elementary. We don't need to move past that. We don't need something complicated and complex. Paul the Apostle says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ." How elementary can you get there? Jesus Christ. We must continue in the Word of God if we are going to avoid being bewitched. People are bewitched today in churches sitting all across America because there is less and less biblical preaching going on behind the pulpits in this land today. You might think, Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." The more that we hear the Word of God, the more our faith will be increased. I was thinking about Joel Osteen, and I don't watch Joel Osteen all that much. I don't watch him all, only if I'm flipping through the channels or something like that. But you would think that as kind and mild-mannered as Joel Osteen is, and there's nothing wrong with being kind or mild-mannered, but you'd think, boy, that guy, he really preaches grace, and boy, that guy's just, man, he's good. Did you know that he's about as legalist as you can get? Did you know that? You'd think, boy, he's just a grace-filled preacher. He's not. He's preaching law to all of his congregants. Saying, boy, if you're not healthy, you're not wealthy, you're not all of these things, there's something wrong with you. Just speak the word. You can create your own destiny. You can do that. You can plan your own future. You are in control of your life. Nothing more than just pop psychology. Nothing more than just moralism. Jesus Christ is not the answer at His church. You're the answer at His church. And that's going on all across America. The gospel's not being preached. Nobody's trusting in Jesus Christ. Don't be bewitched by smooth talkers. It's nothing more than soft legalism. You must hear the Word of God. The final thing that we must do is we must continue in the Spirit. If you and I are going to avoid being bewitched, we must continue in the Spirit. We must continue the way that we started. Verse number 3 says, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh?" He said, are you so foolish, man? You started in the Spirit, but now you're trying to perfect yourself with your own flesh? Are you so foolish? You better continue in the Spirit instead of being bewitched by a legalist. Continue in the Spirit. Are you going to leave the gospel? Are you going to leave the goodness and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and try to perfect yourself by your own works and by your own actions? Is that what you're going to try to do? You better continue in the Spirit. What do I mean by continue in the Spirit? I mean, just how you started out, you need to continue that way. Everything about their conversion experience that they had done was spiritual in nature. They had heard the Word of God preached. They had believed in their heart. They had received that Word in their heart. There was nothing physical about it. They didn't have to work for it. Paul didn't view their lives and say, okay, let's see if you're good enough before you can be saved. Let's see if you're righteous enough. Have you done enough works? Are you a Jew? Have you kept the law of Moses? No, he didn't do any of that. He preached the gospel to them. And they started out in the Spirit. They started out by believing on Jesus Christ. And they had believed so strongly that they had gone through some persecutions. And Paul says, all that stuff that you went through, all of that believing that you did and all of that persecution, was it all in vain? If it be yet in vain, why are you going backwards? You know, to go away from Jesus Christ is to go backwards. We don't start at the gospel and then leave it. We continue in it. Continue in the Spirit. Christopher Columbus was sailing to America. Day after day, he was sailing along and looking for dry land. Didn't see anything. Well, his shipmates were starting to get a little bit discouraged. They were not trusting Christopher Columbus. They were threatening mutiny. They were saying, hey, we're going to leave. Fixing to overthrow you, Mr. Columbus. Christopher Columbus didn't listen to him. He kept going. You know what he wrote every day in his journal on the ship? Two words. Sailed on. Sailed on. You know what happened? He kept sailing, and he got to America, and he found it. You know what you and I need to do? Don't be bewitched. Keep going in the Spirit. Don't leave the gospel behind back there somewhere and go on to bigger and better things than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Keep going. We started in the Spirit. We must continue in the Spirit. The Christian life is a life of faith in Jesus Christ. That's the Christian life. Why? Because it is the Spirit of God that perfects us and not our flesh. Paul the Apostle said, in me dwelleth no good thing. It must be the Spirit of God that perfects us. It is the Spirit of God that produces fruit in our lives. We do not produce the fruit. Jesus Christ produces the fruit. Paul's going to go on again in Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 22. He's going to say, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Why? Because we're trusting in Jesus Christ. It is continuing in the Spirit. It is faith in Jesus Christ. But our default setting is what? We got this. We can do it. I'm a man. I'm a woman. I'm strong. I'm able. I can do it. Not without Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's right.
Not without Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Faith is the life of a Christian. Faith is not a one-time act that you do and then there's no more faith. But many times that's the way that we live. Yes, you are saved in an instance. Yes, you are born again when you believe. Yes, but you don't stop believing. You keep on trusting in Jesus Christ all of your life. Why? Because then fruit will appear through faith in Jesus Christ, and it's a supernatural act that God did and not something that you did.
Amen.
It's faith in Christ. We don't leave that behind and say, well, okay, now what is there? Nothing. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ talked to his apostles. He says, without me, you can do nothing. Without Jesus Christ, abide in me. And I in you. You keep on trusting me. You keep on believing in me. And then the fruit will come forth. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul the Apostle was speaking to Timothy. And he says, listen carefully. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of. Continue.
Amen.
Keep going. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. It is through faith in Jesus Christ. How are you wise in the Scriptures unto salvation? Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. We don't leave that. We don't say, is there something else? No. We continue in the Spirit. To avoid being deceived, we continue. Now, Paul started off when he wrote in chapter number 3 and verse number 1. And he says, who hath bewitched you? Who is it? I'd like to ask you here this morning. Have you been bewitched? Who hath bewitched you? We live in a day and age where you can get the voice of anyone on the internet just like that. I'd like to ask you who has your ear this morning. You've been listening to somebody that's anti-gospel, anti-Christ, anti-Bible. Have you been bewitched by that spirit of the age? who has your ear? Is it a gospel preacher? Is it a Bible-believing preacher? Or have you adopted the age in which we live, that spirit in which we live, and you left that a long time ago? Oh yeah, I identify as a Christian, but then you live like a legalist, or you live like a worldly person. You've adopted all of that. Who hath bewitched you? Paul knew that someone else had their ear. He's looking at their actions, looking at their words. He's saying, yeah, somebody else has got your ear. I can tell. John said, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Are you listening to the Lord Jesus Christ speaking through the Scriptures? We must believe who Jesus Christ is. Not just someone's opinion about who he is. Not that just, well, he was a good teacher and a spiritual guru and yeah. No, he's the Lord of glory. He's God in the flesh. We must submit to him. Mind, body, soul, and spirit. The reason that he came to this earth was not primarily to be a good example for everyone to follow. That's what every other religious person does. No, he came to be a sacrifice for our sins so that we can have our sins forgiven. Amen. And cleansed. And if you here today are trusting in something else besides the finished work of Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross and his sacrifice for sins, you will not go to heaven, you will not be cleansed from your sins, and you will die and you will go to hell without Jesus Christ. And the voices that you're listening to are producing in you a measure of self-righteousness, and you probably don't even know it. Because the true gospel of Jesus Christ produces humility, because you know that you can't make it on your own. You can't make it. And you know that you're nothing without Jesus Christ. I'd invite you today to go to Jesus Christ and be saved. I'd invite you today to come down here and speak to someone about being saved, because you can be saved. Let's go.